I have to start my presentation today with an apology, since the sources I'm going to discuss are actually from the year 1655. And as such, I'm really sort of stretching the limits of what can be considered as the long 18th century. But the persecution of the Waldensians, which I'm going to talk about today, forms only a small part of my overall research on, as Andre has already said, representation of religious persecution in public media, which stretches on to 1748. So maybe I'll come back next year and make up for it. The reason why I chose this 17th century episode in favor of, for instance, the 18th century religious war of the Cévennes, or the bloodbath of Tourne in 1724, or the 1745 expulsion of the Jews from Prague, which are also part of my research, is because pamphlets on the Piemont Easter, as this massacre was called, like no other episode, was really strongly dominated by questions of the veracity of reports, and therefore neatly fits into this panel. So let us start by quickly looking at what the Waldensian persecution was all about. In the spring of 1655, Europe was shocked by the news of a massacre that had occurred among the Protestant Waldensians in the valleys of Piemont, which is here, about 70 kilometers southwest of Torino. Around Easter, the Duke of Savoy had sent an army of Catholic, French, and Irishmen who slaughtered an estimated 1,700 Waldensians, including women and children. The survivors fled into the mountains, from where news of the massacre soon spread to France and the evangelical cantons in Switzerland. Quickly picked up in Europe's news networks, reports of the events traveled to the two great Protestant republics in the north, England and the United Provinces. The events made a strong impression. It inspired Milton to write a poem on the late massacre in Piemont. In both republics, mass collections were held, raising impressive amounts of money to aid the survivors. Parliament and the States General declared a national day of prayer and put diplomatic pressure upon the Duke of Savoy, demanding punishment of the guilty. Cromwell even laid the groundwork for a Protestant coalition and threatened with a military expedition to Piemont. Moreover, he gave France an ultimatum to intervene or else lose its alliance with England. On a local level, news of the events led to anti-Catholic Protestants among the Huguenots in France and street brawls between Catholics and Reformed in the Dutch Republic. All this excitement among Protestant citizens and politicians about something that had happened very far from their beds was, of course, based on second-hand reports. Reports that may very well have been exaggerated, misleading, politicized, or simply plain false. In this presentation, I take the communication of the Piemont Easter in the Dutch Republic as a case to explore early modern attitudes towards the veracity of news media. When was a report considered to be truthful? What belonged to the realm of rumor? And what were the consequences of not having certitude about what was happening abroad? In answering these questions, I hope to provide some insight in the development of information and foreign news production in the 17th century. First of all, what did the Dutch actually read about persecutions of Piemont? It's hard to tell when news actually first reached in the United Provinces. It was first discussed in the States General, 19 May, which is about a month after the events. I haven't found any newspapers commenting on the massacre, but I'm sure that if I look a bit further, I will eventually find it. But the first accounts are probably hidden deep within the vast manuscript universe of private correspondence. One of the first published accounts of the massacre circulating in the Dutch Republic was a published letter, originally intended, at least rhetorically, as private correspondence. The letter from a Protestant from the cantons of Switzerland to a special friend living in Holland, this one, was originally written in May and published by Hendrik Hondius in The Hague, probably soon after it arrived in Holland in June. The only thing that ostensibly distinguishes the pamphlet from the presumed original letter is a short salutation to, I quote, the Christian reader, unquote. This is presumably written by Hondius himself and explains the purpose of the publication, namely to, I quote, have pity with the persecuted Christians, which Rome has tried to mute by spreading guileful lies into this country, unquote. This raised opposition between false information, consciously and maliciously spread in the Republic, and the truth, as it is found in the letter, is peculiar, as there was, in fact, no published work defending the persecution circulating in the Republic at the time. The earliest and only pamphlet circulating in the United Provinces that outright defended the attack was a translated manifest written by Christine Marie of Savoie a month later, in late July, which I'll come back to a little bit later. So possibly this pamphlet referred to rumor communicated orally in the streets, and indeed in criminal records you can find at least one report of a fight that broke out between Catholics and Protestants in Leiden after a heated discussion between a priest and a minister about the persecution of the Waldensians. But unfortunately we don't really know what this fight was actually about, what was being said. We only know that one Catholic was banished from the city because he insulted the Protestant religion during the fight. But I would like to argue that instead of referring to rumor, the pamphlet's attack on mendacity surrounding news of the persecution should more be understood as an attack on the intrinsic error of the Catholic religion. It presents Catholicism as a fundamentally false religion, not merely a mistaken one, and it presents the PM on Easter as a predominantly religious affair rather than a political one. The pamphlet therefore implies... The pamphlet therefore implies that the persecution is itself a product of religious error, lies, and deceit. The letter itself indeed alludes to this inherent Catholic falsehood by warning that Catholics within the Netherlands, I quote, where they are equally forced to live among Protestants, unquote, may very well indulge in the same sort of cruelties under false pretext as has happened in Piemont. The writer argues, however, that it will probably not come so far, because their lies will not, I quote, damage the truth of those who have heard it themselves from the mouth of those who have seen it, unquote. Which, ergo, is, of course, the author himself. Testimonies of the actual event provided an antidote for general Catholic falsehood, waged in an eschatological struggle with the true Protestant religion. From a Protestant perspective, religious persecution was inherently accompanied with lies and deceit, even when these lies had not actually come to the ears of the Protestants in the Dutch Republic. Published discussions on veracity became more concrete when this translation of the manifest by Christine Marie of Savoie was published in the United Provinces. It's this one. The manifest was an explicit response to the media attention that the Piemont East had received across Europe. Its prime objective was to show that the Waldensians had been punished for, I quote, reasons of state rather than religion, even though they shouted this around the whole world and published very seditious and false works on it, unquote. According to the manifest, the Waldensians had revolted against the Duke, persecuted and expelled the Catholics in the region, and they had killed clergymen. The manifest argues that writings on the supposed slaughter of women and children had no other objective than to, I quote, make subject disregard their government and lead pious citizens of both religions despise their neighbors and brothers, people who did not have any knowledge of the situation in Piemont and should therefore not presume to have the right to have the Duke justify what he does in his domains, unquote. Christine Marie's manifest concludes by arguing that one cannot but conclude that the Waldensians were, quote, no less enemies of God than they were enemies of the truth, unquote. The pro-Waldensian pamphlets following the manifest were therefore set on disproving that the Waldensians had revolted and on showing that what had occurred was indeed a religious persecution. In order to do so, they incorporated and commented on the treaties made between the Duke and the Waldensians. One pamphlet, for instance, refuted that priests had been killed by arguing that this had not been put forward by the Duke as a justification for the massacre in any of his placards. Not backed up by official documents, the accusations were therefore nothing more than rumors, which, so one pamphlet acknowledges, cannot be disproven. But as long as they are varying reports on these matters, they should not be taken seriously. It was argued that the Catholics had the authorities on their side, and therefore would not have refrained from publishing a detailed account of the massacre, including the circumstances, names of the involved, and the exact time it had happened. Instead, the rumors are, and I quote, like reasonless dreams combined from different species, like the monsters in Africa who have been born from different animals that found each other at drinking wells, unquote. The strong reliance on official documents to convey the truth could, on occasion, also embarrass supporters of the Waldensians. By August, the situation of the Protestants in Piemont had become so dire that he had signed a patent with the Duke, in which he admitted that he had indeed rebelled. In the meantime, an impressive amount of money had been collected in the Dutch Republic for the relief of the Waldensians. But when copies of the signed patent reached the Netherlands, Amsterdam immediately put the transfer of the raised money on hold. Questioning whether the collections had indeed been for a good cause and would not be misused to aid a rebellion, the city put the money on hold until the innocence of the Waldensians was proven. This became all the more problematic when the Duke sealed the patent by having the Waldensians send letters of gratitude to the States General for their kind support. Only after several Waldensian preachers had informed the States General that after the signing of the patent, additions to the patent had been made, Amsterdam decided to transfer the money after all. The lacking verifiability of reports on the Waldensians made many observers extremely cautious in communicating the persecutions. The contemporary historian and diplomat Leeuwe van Aitzema, for instance, left the apparent innocence or guilt of the Waldensians an open question and neutrally stated in his book that, I quote, it was presented in the United Provinces and England that the poor people had been treated with much violence and injustice, unquote. So we have seen how reports on the persecution of the Waldensians were deeply concerned with the question whether the attack had been religious or political. A first rhetorical strategy was to have identified the massacre as religious. By pointing to the general mendacity of Catholicism. The second was by carefully trying to reconstruct the events and clearly formulating the official legal status of the Waldensians within Piemont. There was also a third rhetorical strategy in pamphlets, where the truth of what had happened was put more in opposition to these religious and political considerations. Many pamphlets built on witness accounts and described in detail the cruelties of what had happened to the Protestants. By communicating how children had been slaughtered and women had been raped, the political or even religious justification of the persecution became more or less unimportant. These pamphlets presented the massacre as a humanitarian crisis. It suggested that even if the Waldensians had defied their ruler, this could not justify the slaughter of so many innocents. The truth was what had happened locally, as opposed to the political world around it. To conclude, looking at the pamphlets on the persecution of the Waldensians in 1655, we see several engagements with the questions of truth of the described event. First, by positioning the Piemont Eastern Reformation framework as part of the struggle between confessions, the truth of the event was a religious truth. Reports on the persecution were a weapon against Catholic mendacity and therefore almost became sort of a religious truth, a religious dogma. In this light, it is not surprising that immediately after the event, a popular martyr's book, Geschiedenis der Martelaren by Adriaan van Heemstede, received a new edition which included the Piemont Eastern. Second way of disseminating the truth was by focusing strongly on official documents, which were presented in opposition to rumor, which is primarily oral foundations. Finding the truth lay in a thorough reconstruction of the whole political world of Piemont, for which pamphlets were the designated medium. And thirdly, the truth was that which circumvented politics. Detailed descriptions of pain and suffering in pamphlets did not only have a sensational function, they also revealed the human face of the massacre, one that was opposed to all political and religious niceties. Not very different from today's media, murdered children were presented as the sad real truth of the event. Thank you.